Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoyed today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
How many of you know who Whitney Houston is? Whitney Houston, when she went to play the part in The Bodyguard, suffered from insecurity. When she went on to the set, she was so fearful and afraid that she actually had to immediately leave on the first day and go back to her trailer. Wondering what was going on, Kevin Costner, who co-starred in that film, went to see her. And she was found in her trailer, taking the makeup off that had been applied by the main artist and putting on her own makeup. When she was asked why she was doing that, she replied, "Because I don't think I look beautiful enough." This is Whitney Houston. When she went onto the set, they actually had to stop after four lines because her makeup was running so much because she was so nervous. Returning back to her trailer, she spoke again to Kevin Costner and said these words, that although that she was an award-winning artist who had one of the most successful careers in her life, that she struggled with insecurity, dealing with this thought, "I'm just not good enough." What an interesting thought, because how many of us in this room, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us in this room, that one of the battles that we face is this thought that actually, I'm really just not good enough. Whitney Houston went on to sing that song, "I Will Always Love You," which actually became the number one song of the year and actually is the biggest selling number one for a female artist to date, from someone fearful, afraid, insecure, and thinking, "I'm just not good enough." Can you believe that someone that looked so good, sang so well, who seemed to have it all together, could suffer from insecurity and low self-esteem? Self-doubt, the struggle between who we want to be and who we really are conditions that all of us can suffer from. Do you know that we sometimes think that the people that are quiet and shy are the ones that are maybe dealing with insecurities? But it's possible that sometimes the people are the loudest are the people who are actually covering up the insecurities that they have in their life. Insecurity is an uninvited guest that shows up every now and then, causing us to question our ability and to do what God has called us to do. Insecurity. When I was a young boy, this is one of the things that I suffered greatly from. And I need to say this to give context, because I belong to a family, still do belong to a family, that love me, that praise continually was heaped upon me. I never felt ever anything less than a child of the family. Always felt welcome, always felt valued, belonged to a community and a society. Someone said to me, "Neil, how did it feel being a black kid growing up in Peterhead?" I would have to say, "You're wonderful. The community has been absolutely great to me, and yet as a young boy, I suffered from insecurities." You'll be glad to know I've dealt with that issue. What I'm saying is this: it has got nothing to do with externals and everything to do with our hard drive and the way that we are wired. And if we allow him, the enemy will use our insecurities to take us out of the plan that God has for us. He makes us to think we are less when actually God has already compensated by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish great things. But maybe you're here this morning and you're dealing with this feeling, "Neil, I just don't feel that I am good enough." So I would like to just share from a beautiful story in the Bible, and just very quickly, I love when I say that, it means absolutely nothing. Just share very quickly four thoughts that I think that insecurity can cause within individuals. Now, the story I want to read to you is found from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 29, and I'm reading from verse 16 to 17, verse 31, if you're taking notes. Now, Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah had weak eyes, but Rachel had a lovely figure and was beautiful. That's what the Bible says. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your presence. We know that surely you are here. Now, God, we pray in these next few moments that we would not be distracted by the lack of media. We would not be distracted by what is happening around us. And we will not allow the voice of insecurity to hold us back from hearing what you would say to us right now. This is how I fight my battles. Holy Spirit of the living God, surely you are here. Speak to hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The story I have just read to you tells the story of a man called Jacob who fell in love with a girl called Rachel. She also had a sister called Leah, and some of you will be so familiar with the story. I will mention more about that in a little moment. But we see that Leah, because we preach a lot about Joseph, but we don't hear a lot of sermons about Leah. We speak about Jacob, but we don't hear a lot about Leah, and yet there is so much that we can learn from her life and the way that she had to fight the battle that she was dealing with. Leah suffered from insecurity. She suffered from low self-esteem. She was aware that she was always being compared to another, and in her world, it was framed by the fact that she had a weakness. The Bible says that Leah had weak eyes. It's so interesting that when you look at Scripture and begin to look at what the commentaries have to say, some of them say actually it had nothing to do with her eyes, but had everything to do with her appearance, and that's why you always read that she's compared in appearance to her sister. But let's think about this whole thought of some of our insecurities can come from human imperfections. Now, I mentioned this the last time I spoke, and I remember saying, how many of you feel comfortable when you look in the mirror, and James Morgan and Ali Hay put their hand up, and the rest of us were honest, and, you know, they're deceived, the rest of us are honest. But when I said that, I just felt God speak to me and say, so many of us, and it was a throwaway line just to get your attention, but how many of us, we're held back from doing things for God because we're so aware of our human imperfections. All of us have something that bothers us, whether it's our height or our weight. I was watching Phyllis yesterday as she was straightening her hair, and then I noticed some girls curl their hair. And I remember when I was a teenager again, and I had the big afro. Some of you seen the big afro thing, and it was the fashion. And then I remember that it moved from the afro look to when Michael Jackson, when he was still in his sort of black stage before he went white. I remember that it all went to, come on, stay with me. And he moved from the afro to the wet look. Do you remember that? The whole wet look thing. So I remember I thought, hey, this is cool, and curly hair is not in. So I moved from curly hair to having the wet look. And I remember being with my dad. And my dad says, what are you doing? I'm like, Dad, this is cool. This is the look for today. And he's like, oh, I am a lad. And I remember going into the chip shop with my dad. And the guy that was serving behind the counter, he said to me, good to see you, Simon. My dad, good to see you, Neil. And then he turned to me and he says, oh, have you just been swimming? My dad, who should have been encouraging, is laughing. He cannot believe it's the last time I had the wet look. But let's be honest in here this morning. Let's be real. How many of us that often there's a human imperfection, there's something that we are so uncomfortable about that there's a struggle within us because Leah allowed the delicate eyes to paint the picture of her life. And if we are not careful, we will allow this seemingly, and notice I'm saying seemingly imperfection, We will allow it to paint the portrait of our life. And before you know it, we think we're second best. It becomes a label. It becomes an issue. It becomes our identity. When the truth of the matter is this, that you and I are shaped and formed in the image of God. When God looks at you and when God looks at me, and forgive me for getting excited, but whatever any other people see, God sees something beautiful. He sees the portrait of His creation, because the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we need to move out of this lie of the enemy, which says you're too heavy, or you're too black, or you're too white. Do you know that there was a time that the folks in America, especially the Afro-Americans, they were so concerned with their blackness that they were using cream to make themselves look whiter. And then you have white folks that go out to sunbathe to make themselves look darker. So we have this, my hair's straight, I want it to be curly. My hair's curly, I want it to be straight. I'm too black, I want it to be more white. I'm too white, I want it to be more black. In other words, we are never satisfied. But if we're not careful, it can become the battle in our life, because we then become, that becomes our image, that becomes our star. So here's what happens. I can't play like David, I'll never be good enough. Or I can't preach like Daniel, I'll never be good enough. Or I can't do this like that one, I'll never be good enough. Because we frame our world by our imperfections, and we think we can't when God has already said you can. And we need to break this cycle and realize I am what God says I am. Where's Matthew? Matthew, come and help me just a moment. I wondered if I asked Matthew if he would just help me do a little illustration. And we're going broad here. I just wanted to speak general, but I want something to get into your spirits right now, because I really sensed, and even this morning as I was praying, I really sensed that there are people in this room that God has a calling and a purpose for your life. But you are allowing that lie of the enemy to hold you back. A little boy that his insecurities when he was young, that if I had allowed them to control me, we would never be doing what God has called us to do. But this is how I fight my battles. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Here's what happens. I have some markers here. No tattoos? You're about to get one. Here's what happens. Now stay with me. Because this is what the enemy does. The enemy comes and he begins to speak things in your life, and things happen in your world. And you begin to frame your world through the lie of what the enemy says over you. Could you imagine if Matthew, and he would never do this, could you imagine if Matthew came in next Sunday and he had a tattoo? Let's see, what will we put? Let's put anxious. What would you think if Matthew Morgan came in here next Sunday? I know what Jennifer would think. I know what Auntie Anna would think. What would you think if Matthew Morgan came in here next Sunday with a tattoo that said anxious? You'd say to yourself, Matthew, why on earth would you speak that over your life? Matthew, why on earth would you declare that over your life? Matthew, why would that allow anxiety to rule over your life? Correct? But here's the truth of the matter. We maybe don't have it tattooed on our arm, but many of you in this room, you have it framed in your mind. You maybe don't have it here, but we have it here, and it's got down to here. Put up your other arm. Let people see that. Heart. Okay, I'm going to help you here. Let's be honest. How many of you in this room, since you've been a Christian, have had the opportunity to be hurt? We've got a choice. How would you feel if Matthew came in next Sunday with a tattoo on his arm that says hurt and anxious? I promise most of you in this room, if not everyone, would go, Matthew Morgan, for heaven's sake, get your act together. Matthew, don't you realize that Jesus Christ came to set you free? You have been redeemed from hurt, and you have been redeemed from anxiety. Yes, the devil would try to make that a framework in our life because of insecurities, but he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So here's what happens. Stay with me. Here's what Jesus came to do. Here's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to remove or deal with our anxiety. And Jesus came to deal with our hurt. And Jesus came to deal with our fear. Because some of you are going, great illustration, great thought. Yeah, I like that. But how about getting it from here to here? How about we realize that imperfection that says fear, or come on, that voice right now that says to you, you're second best, or that voice that says to you, you're not good enough, or that voice that says to you, always step back and let someone else go before you. That voice that says, this guy is so good at mega kids, no one will ever be able to do it like him. Let me tell you something. His dream is this. He's good, but he believes that there's going to be someone even better. Why? Because he's not an insecure leader that's holding on to everything. He's big enough in heart and big enough in spirit and big enough in soul to realize that if we want what God is doing in and through us, we don't hold on to it tightly. We hold on to it loosely, and we believe that God can do incredible things. Come on, church. Because the lie of the enemy, thank you, Matthew, the lie of the enemy is this. Leah, your eyes are weak, and you're not as good looking as your sister. And you're not as good looking as your sister. You'll never be able to do what your sister does. And she's the beautiful one, and you're the one with all these issues. And yet God looks at us, and when God sees a Leah, and when God sees a Rachel, he loves them both the same. Because God's love is not framed by how we look. God's love is framed by that eternal part of our heart and spirit, that purpose that he has put in our life. And I'm here to declare war on the lie of the enemy that says you don't look good enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not talented enough, you can't sing good enough, you can't speak good enough, you're not educated enough, you're not wealthy enough. I come this morning to declare war on the enemy. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. And somewhere in the body of Christ, someone has got to step up and say, we cannot allow our human imperfections. Listen, I guarantee you, I won't do this. I guarantee you, if you turn to the person next to you and said, is there something about yourself you don't like? I guarantee, maybe not James Morgan or Ali Hay, but all the rest of us, come on, all the rest of us would say, yes, there's a human imperfection. There's a flaw perhaps in the way I look or the way I speak or the way I conduct myself that just holds me back. I'm comfortable in the role of my job or employment, but when it comes to church, I just feel that I cannot give. And yet God came. He loved me and you so much that he sent his son to the cross. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he bore our sin, he bore our sickness, he bore every lie of the enemy that he would speak over us, which would say that you're less than what God has created. The Bible says, but God commendeth or revealed his love towards us. Listen to this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I love that scripture, Daniel. I'll tell you why. That if I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me so much that when I was still a mess, he sent his son. What is he going to do for me now that I am a son, now that I'm washed, redeemed, set free, now that I belong to him? What more is he going to do in and through me that excites me? So we need to break this cycle of I cannot because of human imperfection. We've got to break the cycle of if only I looked like someone else, if only I could sing, if only I had the wisdom, if only I had the understanding, I'll stay in the back, I won't come to the front because I just don't have what it takes. Whose report will you believe? I choose to believe the report of the Lord. Anxious, fear, you laughed when I did that to Matthew's arm. But listen, some of you in here right now, up here, I said up here, the battleground of the enemy, you sense the purpose of God, but there's this voice that says you can't. When I was a little boy growing up, My dad, outstanding preacher. My brother, outstanding preacher. My uncles, all ministry. And I'll tell you what I thought. Oh, how on earth am I ever going to be able to, you know, there, well, you know, there's a sad, dad was on television in America. You know, I'm like, whoa, how on earth? You know, here's the deal. I was comparing myself to their calling and didn't realize that God had put a calling within me. So I was thinking, I've got to be able to preach like dad. I've got to be able to sing like my brother. I've got to be able to do this in order for God to use me. And somewhere along the line, the penny dropped. I feel like doing a mic drop. The penny dropped. And I realized that what dad did was wonderful, incredible. What Philip did, wonderful, incredible. But God had a plan for me. God had a plan for me. The Bible says, before I was even formed in my mother's womb, before he was even formed in his mother's womb, if you knew the plans that God had for that boy, you know, if I was to take 5 minutes and say, come on, what's your dreams? What's your aspirations? What are you believing over your child? You know, if I was to say, are you believing your child's going to be anxious and fearful? You would say, absolutely not. Are you absolutely not. And you would begin to speak high, mighty, big vision. Big. If that's what you do as natural parents, folks, imagine what God right now in heaven is speaking over every single one of us. Imagine heaven's voice. If our voice is powerful in the life of an individual, what is God's voice when he begins to speak? I am what God says that I am. I am believing in this room that something significant has taken place. This is how we fight our battles. The battle of insecurity. The battle of low self-esteem. The battle of, I'm not pretty enough. The battle of, oh, if only I could tell a story. If only I could this, if only I that. You know what? If the enemy can take you out of the purpose and calling of God with his lies, he will. Remember Moses? Remember Moses when he went, God came to him, the burning bush, and God called him to lead a nation? And Moses says, I can't because of my stammer. I can't because of this. And he begins to explain to God all the reasons why he couldn't lead the nation. If you actually look at what Moses is saying, he's actually quite eloquent in his excuses. Come on. He's actually eloquent in his excuses why God cannot use him. And it's eventually like you could just imagine God going, would you be quiet? Moses is like, I can't speak. And God's going, well, you're doing a pretty good job right there. I stutter, I this. He'd lost his security. He'd lost his fight 40 years ago when he killed an Egyptian. He lost his fight. But the purpose of God was too great over his life. Here's what I've discovered. God could take someone that stammers, that maybe hasn't got it all together, that maybe isn't pulpit polished. God can take that same individual and use him to lead a nation. If God could use a Moses, what about you? I came in here, I managed to sneak in for the ladies' ministry. That's okay, isn't it? And my heart began to rejoice. I'll tell you why. Because I'm so aware that for so often that our ladies feel that they can't, our culture, should I say, in the Northeast, would almost make us think that we're always second best. Let's get the speakers in from elsewhere. You know, everyone else can do it better than us. You know what I mean? And I came up and upstairs, and I just began to rejoice as I looked around at everything that was taking place. Because I believe that over this year, God, and the previous years, God is doing something so significant in the life of the ladies of Apex Church. And I really want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You're not second best. Don't listen to that lie of the enemy that says if someone comes in from America, if someone comes in from Australia, if someone comes in from England, then they're better than what God has put in your heart. There are queens in this room that God has called for his purpose. And yes, you may be from Peterhead, but good things come from Peterhead or Fraserburgh or whatever in the Northeast. And I want to stir up within every one of us this understanding that in spite of my human imperfections, I am what God says that I am. bowing our heads right now, asking God just to speak to hearts. You're here, and perhaps you've never given your heart to Jesus. Perhaps you've never asked Christ to be Lord on your life. Perhaps you cannot say this morning that I belong to Jesus. This is the greatest thing. The greatest thing in life is the power of new birth, of asking Christ to be Lord and Savior. This has been such a varied service with so much different things going on. We've got to believe that today, that you have seen enough of God working in this place. We've got to believe that God is stirring your heart and He's calling you to purpose. And maybe you're here and you say, I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never responded to Him, but I would like to become a Christian. I would like to give my heart to Jesus. We'd love to pray for you, pray with you. As heads are bowed, we're praying in this place. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. Just lift your hand and put it down again real quickly. I'm looking up in the balcony and I'm looking downstairs here. Just real quickly, just an acknowledgement. I need Christ to come into my heart. Anyone in this great place. Father, we thank you for the power of the gospel. We thank you that we can fight our battles in spite of human imperfection, weakness, and delicate issues. That you're with us. And now, God, we are praying for a mighty breakthrough in this house to the glory of God. That, Father, that your word even says in the book of Isaiah that you have engraved us, you have inscribed us in the palm of your hands. So, Father, we break fear and anxiety and stress and low self-esteem and not good enough and always second best. We break that in our mindsets and we declare, this is how I fight my battles.